Welcome to God, Sex, and You, a daily discipleship podcast on healthy sexuality. Here's your host, Purity Pastor Dustin Daniels.
The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13, "If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I'm just a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers, and I understand all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and if I have all the faith as to remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. And if I give away all that I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, well, I gain nothing." See, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. Doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Love never ends. Have you ever had a conversation to where you thought you were talking about the same thing, but it turned out that you were discussing two separate, completely different things from two different perspectives? I think that kind of conversation is happening quite a bit here lately on the topics of homosexuality and love and lust and hate. For example, that scripture passage that I just read on love, see, that could mean a variety of different things if we don't first define what love is. And on today's episode of God, Sex, and You, I'm going to ask Peter Hubbard, pastor and author of Love Into Light, The Gospel, The Homosexual, and The Church, whether or not the believers and the non-believers are on the same page with the most basic of things, and the words and the definitions as we discuss this subject of homosexuality. So on today's podcast, we'll discuss three things. Number one, why does the world continue to ask about sexuality and sin? Number two, is calling sin, sin, a motivation for hate? And number three, how we must first begin with a definition of love. Today's show is titled, The Definition of Love, Hate, and Sexual Sin. It's interesting to me too, Peter, how the world doesn't like that word sin. And one of the questions that seems to be on the media quite a bit for Christians is this question of, is homosexuality a sin? I just mentioned that, you know, we shouldn't, as Christians, try to force biblical beliefs on someone who has a completely different set of moral standard. But don't you find it interesting that that's a question that continues to come up? And I just wanted to hear your thoughts on why that question continues to come up, and why don't they like that word sin?
Ooh, yeah. Once again, that's none of us like being told that what we hold very deeply, and I think especially when you begin talking about areas of our lives like sexual identification that feel very much like this is not what I do, this is who I am. And our culture has brainwashed us in that, you know, sexual activity is not so much about what you do, it's who you are. And once you've bought that, then anybody who questions, because you've come to that conclusion subjectively, anybody who questions that calls it sin. It just feels like they're motivated because of hate. So our culture reacts very strongly to that, not only because we always react to something we love being called sin, but specifically and more intensely when it refers to something that feels like it's identifying us.
Mm.
Because, you know, 100 years ago, if somebody you know, practiced homosexual actions, that it was, that's a behavior. Today, it's an identity. And I think Christians need to really wrestle with the significance of that, because that is not, that didn't just happen. That is very intentional, and it shows a massive shift in one sense, that leads to a particular way of self-identifying. I think it's Tim Keller who uses an illustration that I find really helpful. This is not the exact way he does it, but if you go 1,000 years back and you talk to a Viking who, for example, who wrestles with two dominant desires, like one being anger and another same-sex attraction, which one of those desires do you think he's going to identify himself with? And the answer seems pretty clear.
Sure.
Anger.
Mm-hmm.
Because anger is going to help that Viking become a good Viking, you know, plundering and accomplishing whatever Vikings do with their time.
right.
But if you speed forward 1,000 years and you go to New York City and there's an actor and he experiences, you know, on Broadway, he experiences two dominant desires, one being anger and the other same-sex attraction, you know, which one of those is going to identify him? And there's no question that it's not going to be anger, because that will not help him accomplish what he wants to accomplish. He'll actually be sent to anger management and probably lose his job if he identifies with that desire.
Wow.
But same-sex attraction in our culture is not only acceptable, but actually quite celebrated now. So we need to understand that self-identification, like, mankind has always experienced a kaleidoscope of desire. Our hearts are churning with desire, but our culture will often dictate which of those desires are identifiable, like in the sense of used to identify ourselves. And in our day, that it's quite obvious. So young people need to be taught that this conclusion you reached of this is who I am did not happen in a vacuum. That yes, the desires have always been there in a variety of people, but the cultural message that, you know, tells us which of those desires to identify with is new.
Let me press in a little bit more on this idea of sin and being motivated by hate, because that's simply not true. But at the same time, for us to engage in this conversation, it is important that we call homosexuality a sin, because that's what God does. In fact, God calls any sexual activity outside the covenant of marriage between one man and one woman, he calls that sin. But see, a lot of Christians, would you agree with this, Peter, that a lot of Christians will say, wait a second, Dustin, that's unloving. But how is that, mm-hmm. once again, how is that truly love to try to explain that to someone?
Oh, I used the example earlier of the doctor. You know, the doctor that discovers that his patient has cancer and then out of love hides it from his patient. All of us would say, and so then the patient dies, all of us would say, no, that's not love. The fact that he pulls out a knife and causes great disruption in order to try to get the cancer out. And the Bible has such a different definition of love than our culture does. Like Romans, I think it's 12:9, where it says, let love be genuine, abhor what is evil.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
That, communicating the fact that genuine love, fake love, will condone evil. Hollywood kind of love.
Sure.
But real love hates evil. Because real love flows from the God who is love, and God's love is never communicated to us apart from his holiness. So it's not, they're not at odds with each other. Real love is pure love.
That's very interesting, Peter. What you just said was, really, we could be having two separate conversations. Because if we don't understand, or if we're not on the same terms, or if we don't define what love is and what hate is, we could be having this conversation with people and not be talking about the same thing. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, definitely. But I think our culture gets it. They're just selective.
Oh,
and I had this conversation with one of the leaders of the leader of what was Exodus International. And we were friends, and they shut down Exodus. And he was saying, no, from now on, we're not going to say that homosexuality is a sin. We're not going to try to confront people. We're just going to trust that the Spirit will work in their hearts. And I said to him, whoa, like, I don't want to be self-righteous either. Like, I'm glad you're wanting to reject that. But if I brought up the subject of racism or, you know, self-righteousness or a host of other things, you know, rape, sexual abuse, you would quickly condemn that, like, without question. Why are you reticent to confront, you know, certain sins and not at all other sins? Because Jesus was the equal opportunity sin confronter. Like, he went after both.
Yeah.
Whether it's the heathen or the hypocrite, whether it's a good looking sin or a bad looking sin, in the church or out of the church, he held back nothing in his opposition to sin. So I think what we as Christians have to do is find illustrations where the world is very quick to condemn and say that's not loving. It's not, sexual abuse is not loving. So you'll condemn that person, but you're quite selective in calling one love and one not. So does that make sense? I think they get it, because God has wired us to know, as Romans says, the difference between right and wrong. It's just they're quite culturally selective.
So are you culturally or biblically selective on how you define love, hate, and sexual sin? Let me ask you this. Have you ever defined love in your own words? The Apostle John writes in 1 John 4:8, anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So that begs the question, doesn't it? Can anyone who doesn't know God, can they love? Or maybe I should ask it this way. Can anyone who doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, can they truly love? What about hate? Do you hate the things that God hates? In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16, King Solomon writes this, there are six things that the Lord hates. No, seven that he detests. Number one, haughty eyes. Haughty is this idea of being proud or defiant. Number two, a lying tongue. Number three, hands that kill the innocent. Number four, a heart that plots evil. Number five, feet that race to do wrong. Six, a false witness who pours out lies. And number seven, a person who sows discord in a family. Again, King Solomon writes in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. So the question becomes, do you hate the things that the Lord hates? Or do you tolerate them in your life because the world demands tolerance? And lastly, how do you define sexual sin? Scripture tells us in Genesis 2:24, Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So, do you define marriage and sexuality as God does? Two sides of the same coin. What about sexual sin as anything outside this marriage covenant of one man and one woman? Heavy questions, deep questions, I know, but questions to give some considerable thought to for sure as we maneuver and walk through this messiness of our culture, isn't it? Well, tomorrow we'll continue our conversation with pastor and author Peter Hubbard. We're looking at his book. It's titled Love into Light, The Gospel, The Homosexual, and the Church. We'll be discussing why sexual purity is not a private matter, but rather a church family matter. Thank you so much for listening to God, Sex, and You. You can follow me on Twitter and Facebook at Purity Pastor. If you have a question for me, I would love to hear from you. Maybe you have a comment on today's show. You can go to dustindaniels.org to send me a note. You can also rate the show, especially on iTunes. It only takes 20 or 30 seconds to do that. I would appreciate that. And if this show has struck a chord with you and you want some other people to hear about it, send it to a friend. Send it to your priest. Send it to your pastor, your minister, to your small group leader. Let them know that there are biblical answers to the cultural, sexual questions that a lot of people have. Jesus said in Matthew 5:8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." I pray that you walk worthy today, my friend. Cling to Jesus. I love you, and I look forward to our time again tomorrow.